Chapter 9. Ending Where It Began.
Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech. Quote by Benjamin Franklin.
At that moment, America's greatest challenges still lay ahead of her. Over the next 6 months, the reported COVID-19 death toll would skyrocket. Frustration, anger, and fear ran high across the country, and an unprecedented level of political turmoil brought it all to a boiling point. For some, the January 20 presidential inauguration of Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris marked the beginning of a new era.
On his first full day in office, though, President Biden cautioned Americans from succumbing to any undue optimism.
Another surge was still underway, and Americans across the country were being asked to hold steady underneath the weight of lockdowns, mask mandates, and the painful surreality of life in a pandemic. For so much of 2020, the word vaccine had been a rallying cry for those in search of a light at the end of the tunnel. President Trump's Operation Warp Speed was tasked with developing an effective COVID-19 vaccine in a matter of months, despite the fact that the typical development period for a vaccine is several years.
In December 2020, a vaccine by Massachusetts-based pharmaceutical company Moderna was announced. That was followed closely by a vaccine by Pfizer, and vaccines by Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca waited around the corner. Far from a silver bullet, though, the vaccine rollout was plagued by the same inefficiencies, issues, and straight-up errors that characterized so much of the COVID-19 response.
Dr. Martin explained in a January 2020 interview.
The problem is it's a defense contractor, ATI, who is the official owner of the distribution of the vaccine. People just don't pay attention to the facts that are actually visible right in front of their face, and this is hidden in plain sight. There's nothing secret about what's going on with these guys. ATI, Advanced Technology International, is a South Carolina company that is directly involved not only in Operation Warp Speed implementation, but far more important, they are the ones who have the contract for government propaganda and misinformation management. You give a company who has a history of providing the Defense Department with misinformation and propaganda management the contract for vaccine rollout? Is it any surprise that they have no experience, no infrastructure? That's not a shock.
Even if the infrastructure failures had been predicted, there was another bump in the road that wasn't a big surprise to government officials. The frontline workers, those heroes who toiled for months and would be rewarded with the first vaccines as a result, many didn't want it. A report by Surgo Ventures found that 15% of surveyed healthcare workers across the country planned to decline their dose. In other cases, the number of refusals was reported as high as 50%. Understandably, there also was widespread mistrust of the vaccine among Black Americans, which led to early imbalances in vaccine distribution. In December of 2020, Time reported that of the 350,000 people who had registered online for the vaccine, only 10% were Black or Latino. Those two groups account for more than 30% of the U.S. population. Through it all, Dr. Martin was vocal online, urging people to educate themselves on the true nature of the vaccine.
The legal definition of vaccine is a preparation of killed or attenuated living organisms, or fraction thereof, that upon administration stimulates immunity that protects against disease.
The COVID-19 vaccine, at least the leading vaccines by Moderna and Pfizer, does not have any fraction of the COVID-19 virus, neither living nor dead. Instead, it is comprised of mRNA or messenger RNA. Messenger RNA is genetic material that normally corresponds to part of your own DNA in cells. It helps with protein synthesis within cells and the body. The COVID-19 vaccine shoots foreign genetic material, mRNA, into your system.
When you receive a COVID-19 shot, that mRNA, instead of creating human proteins like normal mRNA does, instructs the cell to create a piece of the spike protein that is found on the COVID-19 virus. By definition, that spike protein is antigenic, or foreign material, so your body attempts to fight it off, thinking it is an infection. The creation of T cells specific to COVID-19 is intended to prime your immune system for any future viral infection. When the immune response is over, the cell destroys the foreign mRNA with enzymes. It all seems pretty harmless, right? The reality is, we don't know yet. This is a new technology that has never been licensed at all in the United States, let alone implemented at mass scale. The long-term effects are unknown. Former Vice President of Pfizer, Dr. Michael Yeadon, is one of countless whistleblowers who have risked it all to warn the world of the potential dangers. In a Planet Lockdown interview series by James Henry, Yeadon explains, "You've been subjected to propaganda and lies by people who are very well trained in how they do that. If you want to check any of the things I've said, you will find it to be true. And I will point out to you that if you find one thing your government has said which is clearly not true, I ask you this. Why would you believe anything else they've told you?" We're probably quite used to politicians occasionally telling white lies and we kind of let them. But when they lie to you about something technical, something you can check, and they do so repeatedly over months, please, you've got to believe me, they're not telling the truth. And if they're not telling the truth, that means there's something else afoot. I'm here today to tell you that there's something very, very bad happening. And if you don't pay attention, you will soon lose any chance to do anything about it. Don't say you weren't warned. One of the key inventors of mRNA vaccine technology and one of the world's foremost experts in vaccines, preclinical discovery research, gene therapy, biodefense, and immunology, Dr. Robert Malone, sent shockwaves through the scientific community when he took a stand against COVID protocols. He said, "I don't mean to sound alarmist, but what seems to be rolling out is the worst-case scenario where the vaccine in the waning phase is causing the virus to replicate more efficiently than it would otherwise, which is what we call antibody-dependent enhancement." What is antibody-dependent enhancement? Briefly, it's that the vaccine causes the virus to become more infectious than would happen in the absence of vaccination. This is the vaccinologist's worst nightmare. I've been through outbreak after outbreak. I've never seen anything like this. This is behavior control. It's really psyops is what's happening. It's applied psychological operations to control people and their behavior so that they will accept these products, which are still experimental-based, on technology that has never been deployed at this level. And as the data are coming out, it's becoming more and more clear that these products are not completely safe. I'm accused now of being an anti-vaxxer and promoting disinformation. But to my eyes, the government is obfuscating what's happening here. I'm the opposite of an anti-vaxxer. I'm a true believer, but I'm also committed to safety and good science. Dr. Martin was insistent when I spoke to him in January 2021.
I've made the point several times. This is not a vaccine. This is a gene therapy that is marketed under a deceptive medical practice as defined by the Federal Trade Commission. It is being passed off as a vaccine, but it has nothing to do with vaccination under any legal definition of vaccination. Legally, it has to stimulate immunity and stop transmission of a pathogen. Neither of these are being done with this gene therapy.
Why call it a vaccine then? To Dr. Martin, the choice of words was telling.
If people heard that this was gene therapy or a form of chemotherapy, then they might think twice. But if you call it a vaccine and mislead people into thinking that there's a public benefit being served, it's the willful deception of millions of people.
Meanwhile, the obfuscation of the true origin of the virus continued. The WHO first began discussions regarding an agenda for investigations back in February 2020. By July, they announced that the WHO, together with the government of China,
are setting up an international multidisciplinary team to design, support, and conduct a series of studies that will contribute to origin tracing work. China was, of course, in the spotlight, since there was little doubt that the pandemic first sparked there, with Wuhan at the center of it all. This complicated matters. Suspicious of outsiders and viciously dedicated to promoting their version of the truth, the Chinese Communist Party had been accused of widespread lying and misinformation regarding COVID-19 since the beginning of the outbreak. There were allegations that the regime had underreported the size of their outbreak, the contagiousness of the virus, and the nature of its transmission. According to critics, the Chinese had blood on their hands. Understandably, the Chinese were wary, and understandably, the global community pressed forward with calls for the investigation. By fall 2020, they seemed to have reached an agreement, as the WHO released a specific plan for investigating the roots of COVID-19 in China and beyond. On January 14, investigators began their investigation in China. The Chinese government, however, was determined to temper expectations from the start, insisting that the investigators would merely exchange views with their Chinese counterparts, not gather evidence. Although both the Chinese and the WHO continued to ignore the possibility that the virus had escaped from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the State Department was definitive. The CCP's deadly obsession with secrecy and control comes at the expense of public health in China and around the world, the report read. The previously undisclosed information in this fact sheet, combined with open source reporting, highlights three elements about COVID-19's origin that deserve greater scrutiny. First, the State Department highlighted illnesses inside the Wuhan Institute of Virology, WIV. According to the fact sheet, several researchers inside the WIV became sick in autumn 2019 before the first identified case of the outbreak, with symptoms consistent with both COVID-19 and common seasonal illnesses. WIV senior researcher Shi Zhengli had previously claimed that there had been zero infection of any staff or students in the run-up to the pandemic. Such an accidental infection would not be without precedent, the State Department reminded readers. In fact, there had been several high-profile instances of security lapses at Chinese labs that resulted in infection, including a 2004 SARS outbreak in Beijing that infected 9 people, killing one, the report pointed out. Second, and crucially, the WIV had been actively focusing on research involving the bat coronavirus since 2016 and up through 2020. They even had a published record of completing the kind of gain-of-function research that can help such viruses make the jump to human infection. Third was the factor that many nations were too scared to even consider: China's potential for biological warfare. For many years, the United States has publicly raised concerns about China's past biological weapons work, which Beijing has neither documented nor demonstrably eliminated, despite its clear obligations under the Biological Weapons Convention, the State Department report read. Despite the WIV presenting itself as a civilian institution, the United States has determined that the WIV has collaborated on publications and secret projects with Chinese military. The WIV has engaged in classified research, including laboratory animal experiments, on behalf of the Chinese military since at least 2017. A heavy allegation, the State Department said it was supported by the evidence that they had gleaned despite the country's history of secrecy and non-disclosure, and it was only scratching the surface. The report concluded with a pledge to continue to demand transparency from the Chinese, along with a host of other proclamations. First, noting that the CCP has prevented independent journalists, investigators, and global health authorities from interviewing researchers at the WIV, including those who were ill in the fall of 2019, the State Department insisted. Any credible inquiry into the origin of the virus must include interviews with these researchers and a full accounting of their previously unreported illnesses. Second, WHO investigators must have access to the records of the WIV's work on bat and other coronaviruses before the COVID-19 outbreak. As part of a thorough inquiry, they must have a full accounting of why the WIV altered and then removed online records of its work with RAT, G13, and other viruses. And third, the United States and other donors who funded or collaborated on civilian research at the WIV have a right and obligation to determine whether any of our research funding was diverted to secret Chinese military projects at the WIV. The State Department report concluded with a promise. As the world continues to battle this pandemic, and as WHO investigators begin their work, after more than a year of delays, the virus's origin remains uncertain. The United States will continue to do everything it can to support a credible and thorough investigation, including by continuing to demand transparency on the part of the Chinese authorities. Less than a week after it was published, it was gone from the State Department website. Apparently, the Chinese aren't the only ones with a proclivity for what could kindly be called information management. To Dr. Martin, saving lives by ending this pandemic and saving our democracy depends upon transparency and the sharing of information.
I've made sure to put published, accessible information into the public view. That is seen as this massive public service that I'm doing. The truth is, it's not much of a public service. It's what accountability of a citizen should be. We should pay attention to these things. One of the facts I've been quite insistent on is that we live in an era where we've abdicated the responsibilities of living in a democratic society. Instead of reading source documents, we're checking social media. Following people has led us down a pathway of checking our own intellect and power of inquiry at the door. We're assuming and trusting that someone or something else has inside knowledge. I would say my entire passion and what got me involved in Plandemic in the first place was about making it very clear to the public that their own powers of inquiry are a muscle that needs to be engaged. The Spanish are unique in that their constitution states that literacy is a prerequisite for democracy. Literacy does not mean the very capacity to read a Twitter feed, but to formulate an independent question, to create an independent hypothesis, and to go out and find the information to test that. Our democracy will only survive if we cultivate that kind of literacy.
I reached out to Dr. Mikovits to request a closing statement. This is what she had to say.
I gave a talk in September of 2018 in Phoenix. At the end, they asked, "Judy, is there anything else you want to say?" I'm looking at the pained expressions on the faces of moms and dads in the audience, sitting there with their injured children. I said, I was part of the problem. I was part of the system that is responsible for hurting millions of innocent people, innocent children, and I paid the price. Yes, I was targeted and terrorized for refusing to play on the dark side. Yes, they took my home and my life savings. Yes, I had my name and reputation ruined. And yes, this has been the best decade of my life. I thought I belonged hidden away in a laboratory. I was a science nerd. I never imagined that someday I would talk for a living, that my story would be my medicine. If you just stand up and speak the truth in love, you'll be honored. I've been honored in so many ways, I can't even begin to describe it. We can win this thing. I'm living proof of that. Courage is contagious. If you're a doctor who is just waking up to the awareness that you've violated your oath to first do no harm, or if you're a parent of a child that through your guidance has been damaged by vaccines, the highest choice you can make in this moment, as painful as it might be, is to acknowledge your mistake and forgive yourself. You listened to the science. You did everything you were taught and told to do. Take responsibility, but let go of the shame. It belongs to someone else. Forgive yourself like I forgave myself.